Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back to another episode of the Scobro Show. It's Behind the Steel Curtain editor Dave Schofield coming at you. It's well after 9 o'clock. We are having some issues, but if you're a Steelers fan, where else would you rather be? And with me, as always, except for when he's not, little bit fuzzy on the picture side because of some technical issues and having to swap out a computer for tonight. But it's my big brother, Rich. Rich, how are you? How's the oxygen coming tonight?
Sorry, quick check of the sinuses, but we're breathing in a short stack.
The short stack. We got the short stack. Short week, still stack the wins. That's how it's going with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hey, just to throw a little side note, sorry we're getting so late. Like I said, we had to make an equipment swap out for my brother. I was having some sketchy internet earlier. Today's just been a day. You know, sometimes you just come in and you're ready to do a show and you're so excited and you're so lighthearted and ready to go. And other days you've got things that with life that are wearing you down and everything. So today is more one of those later things for us as a family. But we're going to try to power through here to do our Pittsburgh Steelers stuff. But the only reason I mention that, well, not the only reason, but the main reason that I mention is because I need some help from you all out there. I need some help from you all in the live chat, anyone listening to this in audio. I need someone who's like, man.
We must defeat the Wang Harbs.
We got to defeat the Wang Harbs. But someone that says, man, I didn't realize this could work, but boy, would I really wish that I could get to Acrisure Stadium and watch this game between the Steelers and the Ravens. Because of things going on with our family, my brother-in-law, who I share my season tickets with, who was to attend this game Sunday, can no longer go. That's because of this. It's also would be difficult for me and otherwise. So we're basically looking to sell off our tickets at cost. We are 16 rows from the field in the end zone facing the Jumbotron. It's great. You can see the action on the field and the play on the scoreboard at the same time. It's very good, nice, you know, very good seats there in section 122. $300 for the pair. If anyone is interested, reach out to me on Twitter. It's on the screen at STLR Superfan Dad. You can reach out to me via email at STLRSuperfanDad@gmail.com. But I really don't want to have the seats be vacant. So right now, just to try to help out, we definitely
don't want them filled with purple
Ravens. Yeah, I don't want to put them online and have a chance of it being Ravens fans. And I mean, and there's even Ravens fans that I know I could offer the tickets. I'm not. I would rather it be vacant. But at the same time, with everything going on with my brother-in-law, I don't really want to make him have to take a loss on it. So that's what's going on. So hopefully, if anyone's interested, you can reach out to me. Would really like to be able to do that for them. I said I would take on that from everything going on from them. So that they didn't have to worry about that's something that I could do to help out. So, Rich, there you are. You got a little bit blurry on me for a second. Hopefully I'm coming through well because you know what was coming through well?
By the way.
Steelers victories. What's up?
Just take your glasses off. Take the bottom part of your T-shirt and rub them. I keep getting fuzzy because what it is, you have a spot on your glasses.
I don't have a spot on my glasses. I don't have a spot on my glasses. Yo, I almost fell for that, too. My brother. State of the Steelers says that I'm 15 rows, not 16. I mean, I know there's no row I. I'm trying to remember. Where you talk while I count. Rich, How you feeling after that win this week?
Not bad. I feel like I'm continuing to see improvement in the Steeler team. I hope what I do is like, since the bye, we've seen progress. But we still need to continue to see progress.
That's right. You're spot on there. I mean, even if the Steelers were putting up 40 points a game and shutting out their opponent, no, and only giving up single digits, you still want to see progress because that's how the NFL works.
Yeah, but there's certain areas I still would like to see progress in. I brought it up in the knee-jerk reaction. You brought it up in the By the Numbers article. You guys talked about it in the post-game show, and it was the field goal to touchdown ratio.
Yes.
We need to work on that. We are driving the football. Mm-hmm. Okay. We are driving the football and
which
we are getting
a big problem earlier in the season.
Okay. It was a big problem earlier in the season. Now we are driving the football and getting points. Now the next step is to start getting more touchdowns than field goals. Again, it's baby steps. We got to keep working on these things though. So although I felt great about the win, I also already am noticing, hey, we took a baby. Yeah, we made a move forward here. Now we need to work on trying to move forward here. We made a move forward here. Now we need to continue to try to move forward to here. You know, I don't think there's a fan out there in our live chat tonight that would say they are 100% satisfied with where this team is at. I don't think there's a player on the Steelers roster that would tell you they were 100% satisfied with where this team is at.
Yeah.
But they are all probably fairly happy that things are moving in the right direction in most areas.
And you have to get wins in doing so. That's the key. That's the key. Even if you're not perfect, you have to still win through your imperfections. One thing Coach Tomlin said today, so much so I want to, you know, pull out my notes and see if exactly what he was saying, was that he's like, he was, you know, talking about the Ravens. He's well, first of all, I said, if you lose the field position battle, you're going to lose the game. But the other thing is that he says that, where it is, the group that absorbs negativity and moves on from it will have the advantage. And that's the in this game coming up. And that's the thing you have to be able to do. You're not going to be perfect. You have to, you know, embrace the imperfection. And it's kind of like how they say, you know, you kind of got to have amnesia at times. When a young quarterback throws an interception, you got to let it go. We haven't had to worry about that since the bye week of the young quarterback throwing an interception.
No, we have not.
Yeah. So, Kenny
Pickett has cleaned up his play. He's continued to make improvements, even saw what I consider to be an in-game improvement from Kenny Pickett, an in-game adjustment. Did something wrong once, came back, got the chance to do something very similar, did it correctly.
Yeah.
I guess you could technically say he overthrew Pat Freiermuth, but basically he threw the ball too much on a line, didn't put enough loft in it to be able to give Freiermuth an angle to really catch a ball, but then turn around and made the correction on the touchdown throw to Connor Hayward. You know, it's even those in-game adjustments, which reminded me then, I actually was talking to somebody about it, reminded me of a couple years ago, the same kind of improvement we saw in game from Alex Highsmith against the Ravens. Remember when they kind of burned him on the one pass play because he said he just didn't turn his hips and drop far enough. And later in the game, he does it and gets an interception.
Gets the interception.
Right. So even seeing those adjustments in the game, encouraging. That's, you know, if you ask me one word to describe the Steelers game from this past week, that's where I say it's encouraging.
Yeah. And of course, you know, some people, I noticed there was a little bit of discussion about, you know, the whole Matt Canada, does it, you know, is this really enough for him to keep his job, blah blah blah. I will be honest with you, hear me out, this has a logical progression. I don't want Matt Canada to be fired at the end of the season. It's not that I want Matt Canada to stay. I'm not saying that. I don't want to be fired at the season, at the end of the season, because I want to see the Steelers offense continue to improve over these next five games and possibly even a sixth. We'll still wait a little bit on that. But I want to see it improve. Why are you even saying that?
Playoffs.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. No, playoffs? We can't.
Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, we're not talking about it. But I'm just saying I want the Steelers offense to improve so much that it just becomes a non-factor. That's what I mean by it. It's not like I'm thinking I'm just saying that would be a good thing, unless you're one of those people that are still upset that the Steelers aren't picking in the top five. Because that means the Steelers are doing more of what they need to do.
You know, while we're on the subject, I'll bring it up. You know, in this game, I think there was only one time in particular that I questioned the play call and thought that wasn't the greatest call there. I forget what it was, but I think I mentioned it in the knee jerk.
I thought of.
Did you think of? Because I think it was the same one.
It was after the penalty. They got pushed. They got in the red zone. They got a penalty. They got pushed back. It was like a first and 20 or something. It might have had two penalties to get them to a first and 20. Because for some reason, I'm thinking the Steelers only had 5-yard penalties for the game. Because how else do you have 7 penalties for 30 yards? Because you had one penalty that was for 0 yards. It was just a loss of down. But it was like a first and 20 or something. And it was like they brought in the jumbo package and an obvious handoff up the middle when you really needed to get some chunks of yards over the next three downs.
I think that was the same one that I questioned. Say, why did we go obvious run there? And not only did we put in the jumbo package, then they had the line stacked. That play nothing better was going to come out of that than 3 yards. And the Steelers got 2, 2nd and 18. Not where you want to be.
Yeah, not where you want to be. I mean, that one.
You want to be 2nd and 12.
Yeah. It's a good opportunity to try to maybe, you know, get a chunk of yards back right there a little bit. Because honestly, if they'd have come in with the jumbo package and thrown out of it, then I would have been like, even if it would have been incomplete, I would have been, hey, you at least were trying to do something a little bit to change it up and get a little bit more yards. But they had been running the ball well, but that one I felt was almost a little bit too obvious. The thing when you come in with the jumbo was it does allow more defenders to come into the box with that. I'm not saying I don't ever want them to run it.
And I have an opinion on that, and in me, that is becomes even tougher once you're at the 20-yard line and in to go jumbo package and run, unless you're right on the goal line. Unless you're only trying to gain up to 2 yards.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. It's so nice to be talking about a game where the Steelers, you know, they have good parts of their game and you can talk about it, but it's in a winning effort. I mean, there's that happened at other points earlier in the season where you could say, oh, this wasn't such a terrible thing. I look back and, you know, I think of the Miami game and how the defense shut them out in the second half and really shut them down, but they didn't do enough to win the game. So it's kind of like, yeah, well, they didn't win. So, but in this one, it's like, well, they didn't play perfect, but they did enough to win. So, but you also know you have some other quality opponents, specifically this week on the horizon, that if you play if you play in that way, that you might not be able to have the same outcome when it comes to a victory. So you've got to clean those kind of things up as well. But what do you think of the Steelers' run game? So, you know, over the last 4 weeks or even specifically in this one?
Well, specifically in this game, I mentioned somewhere in the knee-jerk reaction article that it was nice seeing our offensive line blowing the defensive line off the ball. We were grading the road.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see. I mean, that was 154 yards where the long rush was 14 yards. We pounded out 154 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a game you were used to seeing from Jerome Bettis, you know, where he would rush for 130 yards with a long of 14. You know, it's like just pounded them into submission. And it really would have been pounding them into submission, if you think about it, if we take two of our field goal drives and instead score touchdowns, that game's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. If you can convert those field goals into touchdowns. Now, it was real interesting because Coach Tomlin brought this up.
Not all of them. Even half of them.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Half of them.
Yeah, 50% or more. I mean, once again, five scoring drives. They only had seven drives. If you take away the one play they ran at the end of the first half, honestly, if the Steelers didn't have the ball inside the 20, they might have tried to do a little bit more. They ran one play, and if they would have got to the 20, I think they might have called a timeout and tried to do something. But that's just the part of the field you didn't want to mess around with and try to get too cute. It's kind of one of those general rules that you talk about with things of that nature. When there was that little time, even though you had the timeouts. So you take away that one, you take away the kneel down at the end, and they had seven drives because I'm not counting those two. Right. And they scored on five of them. They did not punt the ball into the fourth quarter.
Yes. You know,
that's a positive thing. And you're like, they just didn't have as many drives because also then in the second half, Atlanta went back to running the ball. Atlanta, some people said maybe they got in the Slack channel, said maybe they got too cute for themselves. They saw something they thought they could exploit in the secondary and tried to do a lot of passing in the first half, and that's not their game. Well, regardless, they came out to run the ball, and man, that offensive line is a unit. I mean, it's not like they dominate every single person for person on that offensive line, but they work. Jeffrey was sharing some clips today on our Slack channel.
They work as a unit.
They are that Atlanta rushing game is no joke. And the Steelers held them under their season average. They were the third fewest rushing yards Atlanta has had this year. But yet in the second half, it just felt like Atlanta were kind of running the way they needed to.
Yeah, they.
But as Jarman reminded me, when you get down to the end of the game, and all you can do is run, that's not a good recipe for success. When you got to run the 2-minute drill.
Yeah, that offensive line as a unit may be the best working unit, meaning the blocking as a unit in the league.
Yeah,
like a couple of those clips Jeffrey threw out there today. I mean, that group was synchronized. Everybody was in step where they were to be when they needed to be there on a couple of those runs in the second half. And it was just like, wow. Now, our offensive line is working towards that. And they are getting closer to that every week.
Yeah, they are. They are. That, you know, working is, and it really helps. I said this to Jeff during the game, so he brought it up. I think he brought it up on Let's Ride. I listen to all his podcasts, so I can't remember which one he said it in. If it was at the post game, but I think it was Let's Ride. That Chukwuma Okorafor going out for that one snap, that was only the second time. Well, he was only the second offensive lineman to not have played every snap of the season. Four of the five had played every snap. The only one that had missed any was Mason Cole. He had missed five snaps throughout the season before he got injured just before halftime in the Bengals game, right? Bengals game? I'm pretty sure it was the Bengals game because it was the same one that Jalen Warren got hurt.
Yes.
So it was that one. So the offensive line getting so many plays together, it really does help. That's a group that needs to continue to grow. And as long as they do, that's going to show some things with the Steelers' success. But one of the things I was going to say, Mike Tomlin mentioned in the post-game press conference that I thought was a good acknowledgement. He's like, they held Atlanta to a field goal on Atlanta's last drive. He's like, sometimes teams just don't finish it off themselves. They were driving. They scored the touchdown that got called back on a hold. Then they had another penalty. They got pushed back for that reason and had to settle for a field goal. And you're like, wow, did the Steelers really win because of that? But that's the exact same thing that happened to the Steelers.
yeah.
on their drive. I don't know if it was the drive right before, but it was their drive in the second half where they scored a field goal. They were down, they were rolling, and Deontay Johnson falls forward. You know, and then there was another one there. And that was the one that we said had a play that we didn't like. But when the Steelers got put into that situation, that killed their drive and made them have to settle for a field goal. So it was give and take both ways. Minka Fitzpatrick doesn't run it in. I noticed your reaction on knee jerk now that you think about it more. What do you think about him not taking the ball in?
Oh, it actually was really smart.
It really was.
It really was. Because by not running the ball in, that means that Atlanta never touches the ball again.
Yeah.
Would I hate to have a, you know, would I hate to have had a Wang Harbs moment there.
Yeah. Well, because, yeah, the last thing you want to do is say, okay, hey, there, we're up 10 points. Yay. All right, let's kick it off. And the kickoff doesn't go exactly where you want it. And all next thing you know, Patterson catches it and he returns it. Then they're kicking an onside kick, trying to get the ball to get a tying field goal. But instead, you're doing victory formation and the game's over. Right. I mean, do you live in your fears? No. But you didn't need six or seven more points right there. You needed to possess the ball. And that's what Minka Fitzpatrick did. And that was smart. Although I would have loved to have seen that score go up to 26. But it is what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Where are we still needing to go here?
Yeah, well, I really do want to talk about this game coming up, but I also want to make sure that we've got everything covered in anything else from this game from this past week. If there's something else you want there.
Actually, yeah, the one thing I do want to mention is, you know, one particular play I want to mention, my gosh, that punt. You talk about something that I'm guessing Big Press has spent plenty of time working on, how he got that ball to basically land at the one and check up to be downed at the two was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, friggin' looked like, I won't say mine, I'll say Kyle's because he's better than I am. It looked like Kyle's pitching wedge. You know,
Jeff talked about that on Let's Ride. He's like, it was the perfect wedge. You know, you're 70 yards out. He laid it down. He's like, it's where you put the ball, you put the spin right where you want, and it hits and it just sticks and it's just right there. It's
right there. Like, and now you're tapping for birdie. You know, it's like,
yeah,
what a feeling. And I'm guessing that's had to be the feeling Big Press had after that punt. He was just like, that's why I spend the time practicing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what you do. I mean, and that's the thing. I know some people like, you can't afford to ever have, you know, one shank every three games. It's just kidding. But you know what? That's true. I'm not going to disagree. Anytime you get that bad punt, it hurts. I was in the stadium when the Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Mike Glennon because a Brad Wing punt went nowhere and they gave them the time to score the touchdown to win the game with 7 seconds left. I mean, I think they had the ball at the 40, you know, coming in. Something crazy like that. I've seen that. But when you could,
I'm 40.
Yeah, so that's just one of those things. But when you see a punt like that, you're like, if that guy can do that when you need him to, I'm good. That was really something. Yeah. So, that was good. And I will say, because it could have been his last game with the Steelers. That because that's some news we should be talking about. I didn't start talking about the news. I just got into things. What did I do? Is Matthew Wright had another nice game for the Steelers. Yeah, he missed two kicks in his first with the Steelers, but since then he went three straight games missing nothing. Hit the field goals. That hit the four field goals. 2 46s and a 48. Yeah, he had to bank one in, but the bottom line is it went through. It's 3 points regardless whether it hits the upright or goes straight down the middle. Although, come on, for someone I know that it does a lot with confidence and everything else. But His kickoff was really good.
But you didn't see, though. You didn't see that when he kicked the ball, got about halfway there, he called bank.
Yeah. it's funny. Is that that kick's going? I'm saying to Jeff, I'm like, you missed it.
I didn't say you missed it. I was like, oh, it's going to be close. Doink. And through, and I was like, oh my gosh.
So that I just kudos to him, because after the kickoffs were a problem in Indy, they were not a problem this week. He kicked it short to get them to come out of the end zone to field it. Then he kicked it, you know, away from Patterson, no matter where he was. Then they bring Patterson out to the 5 yard line or so when they kick it over his head for the touchback. You can't backpedal into the end zone and then bring it out. I mean, you can. It's just really not a good idea. It's really
then the one time it looked like Patterson was towards the was in the very middle, and he laid one just a yard or two deep, but kicked it so close over towards the sideline that Patterson started that way and then basically just pulled up. He's like, "Yep, no."
Yeah. Yeah. So there, you know, kudos to him, because here's some of the news with Coach Tomlin in his press conference today. He talked about injuries. There is no one that missed the game due to injury because, you know, they finally put Witherspoon on IR.
Yeah, put Witherspoon on IR.
The questionable guys played. So the only injuries that they talked about was, he said, you know, Chooks' shoulder, he missed one play, but they might take it easy with him early in the week, just to make sure he's good, is basically what Coach Tomlin was saying. TJ Watt's banged up. You could tell by his play on Sunday. Could you notice that?
Well, they said, you know, he's last week he got hit in the ribs, and then they said that he was actually wearing the flap jacket, you know, the rib protector this week. I could tell that was affecting him, especially when he tried to speed rush, because he couldn't flex and bend to the side. Yeah. The way he usually, you know, how he usually comes in and gets real low and digs around, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So he was having to play a slightly different game than he usually does. But I think he did a good job making the adjustments that he needed to and trying to do the things that he could do.
Yeah. And just having to draw the attention just really does help. Now, if this continues to be like this, teams might not put as much attention on them. But if they don't, then I still say watch out. And I'll say this now, an 80% TJ Watt is better than 100% whoever else they would have to put out there in this spot. You know, a Malik Reed or a – yeah, it just is. And it could even be a lower percentage. I was just saying 80%. So I would look for Watt to really – I mean, I – hopefully he doesn't even practice the first 2 days, or if he does stuff, he's limited where he can
limited
come out.
Practice.
Limited that's what it I might be. That's what he was all last week. Limited meaning you're going to go out, you're going to do things, but anything that could possibly, you know, maybe just get some exercise, run through drills, but anything that could set that off, keep him out. We've seen TJ Watt not practice and come out there and play great. So I just want to see his health improve. But the other thing that Coach Tomlin talked about, he's like, we're not banking on having Chris Boswell or William Jackson III this week. We'll see how things progress with them. The only way things progress with them is if they open the window.
Right.
And they are both ready to open the window. It's been 4 games. So you don't activate them today because they didn't practice. That makes you lose a day. I have a feeling I would not be shocked at all if both players, if they start their 21-day windows tomorrow. And that way they can both practice and they're not taking up a spot on the 53. Boz comes out. You know, he's not allowed to practice otherwise. Now he comes out, he can actually kick with him, see how the groin's feeling. If he comes out and it's feeling a little bit, oh, don't worry about it. Then you start. The only way you don't start the window is if you're like, man, I don't think there's he no can chance. Do anything. Yep. We might as well not even start it.
Right.
So I believe both of those guys will be practicing this week based on Coach Tomlin's comments. Now, like Coach Tom said, doesn't mean that they'll be in the mix for playing this week. We'll let practice be our guide. I mean, if you're letting practice be your guide, that means you got to come back and practice because you know, you know why. You know why?
We're talking about practice.
Yeah, that's why, because we're talking about practice.
Not a game.
Yeah, not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Yeah. Hey, let's go ahead and take our break real quick.
Yep,
and then we can come back so we can, I want to talk about the Steelers' third quarter. Cause to me, the third quarter just finished, and how that rolls into where we are. So I'm going to set this up, get into the title of the show because it's talking about next week's opponent. And that's how we split the show up generally, is that we talk about last week and then roll in. So if you're here with us on YouTube or Facebook, stick around. We'll just be gone a couple seconds. If you're here with the audio, check out a word from our sponsors. And we are back, Pittsburgh Steelers fans. I don't know if that was really silent. Could you hear the train going off in the background here? I don't know if you can hear that or not.
I couldn't, but I don't have my headphones up particularly loud right now.
But we're back. We're rolling on. It's the Scobro Show. If you missed it in the first half, if you're just joining us now, I've got tickets to the game. My brother-in-law can't go. Family issue going on. I'm just trying to.
You can't go. I can't go.
We're just trying to have him not take a loss on them. So it's $300 for the pair of tickets, 16 rows, and I counted them, 16 rows up in the end zone. I can even send you a picture. Seriously, if you're interested, let me know. But if you're like, well, hey, yeah, I'd like to see. You know, I really am trying to do this for my brother-in-law. So if you're interested, I'd love to do it, but also want to make sure that we're getting some serious inquiries. If you ask me to say, hey, can you hold them for me for 3 days? I'm just not going to be able to do it. So I think everyone understands. So
yeah, and you know, you just need to understand that the tickets are there and available because the SCOs can't go.
The SCOs can't go. It's the no SCO bro show.
No SCO bro.
I can't know.
It's the no go SCO bro.
And here we go. Yeah, it's can't Ravens go. Week. It's Ravens week. Let's get into this Ravens week. It's the Ravens versus the Pigeons.
The Ravens versus. I was gonna say Sherry just brought this up. Yeah, you know. Oh, where'd it go?
No, it was there.
Okay. Yeah. My computer lagging.
Yes, it is.
There you go. Release the pigeons. Yes, we need to release the pigeons.
Yes,
to take down the Ravens.
Yes, so. Other people have the Kraken. We have the pigeons.
Yes, so
that's the Steeler fans. It's Ravens week, but I talked during the bye week, and man, when the Steelers rolled into their bye week after they did not have the best showing against the Philadelphia Eagles, it was kind of a regroup and everything, that it's like, you know, this season isn't lost yet. The Steelers, if they can come out of their bye and go 3-1 or better in the third quarter, then that means the week 14 matchup against the Baltimore Ravens in Pittsburgh is going to be significant. So first you got to go at least 3-1 in the third quarter. Then you, in order to make that game significant, then if you pull that game out, then you're talking about getting your little logo on the far right side column when they're talking about playoffs. That's right. That's what they do. They talk about
playoffs.
Yeah, when they're talking about that you would see a nice logo, you know, white with three hypocycloids that would be there in the hunt. And honestly, I'm not saying that I think the Steelers should go to the postseason. I mean, if they can really roll off the wins that they need to get there, then that's a team the people are going to say, hey, look out for them. But the biggest thing for them is to improve. And I just love for them to be relevant. Well, they did the 3-1. Would have been great if they could have pulled off the 4-0, but they were facing the last year's AFC representative of the Super Bowl. So it's not like they lost to a completely slouched team.
Who as a team is actually playing some pretty decent football, right?
Yes, now. They are. I mean, think about that. That the what they've done since with both of their victories since they played the Steelers. So this is huge. So the question is of the show, Rich, are the Ravens in Week 13 the biggest opponent 2022 has to offer?
I don't know if I necessarily want to say the biggest, but playing the Ravens is always big.
Yeah.
The Ravens and Steelers use the games against each other as their measuring stick.
Yeah.
So in that way, yes, it might be the biggest because it will be part of our true measuring stick. We will always measure ourselves about how do we stack up and play against the Ravens.
Yeah.
And it is going to be a very typical black and blue slobber knocker of a game, I expect.
Yeah.
And then in the end, I just hope that we get to, you know, stick it to Wang Harps.
Yeah. Man, someone reached out to us on after the post game show and just did the video part of Brian Anthony Davis. If you did not check out the post game show with Brian Anthony Davis talking about Wang Harbs, and did you know, I mean, I know we call him that, but did other people use the nickname Harbs before?
I don't know.
Coach Tomlin called him Harbs twice today. Twice he called him Harbs. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that Coach Tomlin got that from us. I'm just saying it's like when we came up with that, I think it was a combination of Brian saying something and Jeff then combining it to come up with that nickname. I didn't know that he was widely referred to as Harbs at the time, but Coach Tomlin called him Harbs twice today, which I thought was crazy, which just as soon as I hear it, I'm like, oh, so yeah,
wow. That's okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the post game show because I had a concert that I was a choral concert I was singing in. So yeah. I did not get to see the fun of that. And I was sad I didn't get to, and I haven't even had the opportunity to go back and listen to it because I knew that Bad would jump into the Wang Harp.
Because it's Ravens week. It's Ravens week.
Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody beat Wang Harps tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's basically it. Well,
sure.
But at the same time, it's because the way he does stuff and, you know, he does have a very punchable face, if you know what I mean. He just has one of those faces that you're like, man, I wish I could just smack that guy.
If he's when he does coach, something, when he does
something. It. Yeah.
If he's your absolutely. Coach, if he's on your team, you love him. But if he's not on your team, you want to just smack him in the mouth.
Yeah. Hines Ward. Beloved
yes.
by Steeler fans. But if he didn't play on your team, you had a lot of reason to hate that guy.
Yes. I get it.
Yeah. You know, just, you know, Kathy says like TB12, you know, he has a very punchable face, you know what I mean? Or a guy that you just like, if he's not on your team, you just don't like that guy.
Yep.
So, but it's Ravens week. I think this is, the Steelers have set this up to be the key game for their season. They got back to a point where, I mean, if they had one more win at this, of course, if they had more wins, it'd be even better. But that's not who this team was early in the season, where it was to get there. But they're at a point right now that if they could knock off the Ravens, then every week their game is going to be relevant as long as they can win the next one. Now, will the Steelers go 5-0 over the last five games? I don't know that they can do that. But you can't go 5-0 until you win the first one.
Right.
And you got to play the Ravens twice. And you can't beat the Ravens twice unless you beat them the first time.
I was saying, you can't beat the twice in one game. You have to go to the first game and win it. And then we'll worry about the second game when you would get there.
Well, it's kind of like Coach Tomlin talked about today. He was asked a really good question during this press conference. And it was about, it was the last one of the whole thing. And it was about, they're in the business of winning and in the business of making the playoffs. That's what they are. And he was asked, you know, how much is that playoff discussion something that you guys continue throughout the season, especially at this point? And Coach Tomlin's answer was, it's every week of our lives, but we frame it that this week is what's important relative to that. It's not a realistic discussion unless we handled our business this week. That's what I mean when I say each week we're singularly focused. It's not like we don't acknowledge the elephant in the room. There's something that's coming at the end of this thing, but we want to be positioned for it, and so we know what this week means relative to it. That was what Coach Tomlin said about it. So it's the whole thing. That's the goal, but you can't look at the goal of just where it is there. You have to look at it week by week, and you have to do what you do right now. And honestly, it's nice and exciting for Steelers fans to be talking about the Steelers hosting the Ravens. And it's not just like, oh man, how long am I going to even want to be able to keep this game on? That's not the feeling you have after the last four games. That's not the feeling, at least that I have. I don't think you have that either after the last four games. This team has shown that they have improved to that point. Isn't that how a lot of people were feeling in the live chat and just in other things going into that Eagles game? Now, I'm also not saying that the Ravens or the Eagles, they've struggled the last few weeks, even before Lamar Jackson got hurt. So that's why I think that the Ravens, they're ripe for the picking in Pittsburgh with everything right now. But if the Steelers get a win against the Ravens, people are going to start noticing. That will be much more noticeable, even without Lamar Jackson, than a win over the Colts or a win over the Falcons. Can you agree with that?
Yes, I can. Yes. Yeah. Well, like I said, it is a fantastic measuring stick, especially now, like you said, we went 3-1 in that third quarter. And then you get to start the fourth quarter with what I consider to be the Steelers' regular measuring stick game.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the biggest measuring. Well, I mean, you could have looked at the Cincinnati game as a measuring stick one as well, but that was, you know, their second week coming out of the bye. You felt like they were maybe getting back on track, and they even had themselves set up that they could have won that game.
Yes.
They didn't, but they could have.
Right.
And it's not even about, you know, the late touchdown. Well, earlier in the game, the poor third quarter, things of that nature. More could have come from that. You know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But the Steelers have kind of grown. I mean, they had a rough third quarter, really bad against the Colts. But this past week, what did the Steelers do in the third quarter? They didn't finish it off with a touchdown, but they put up a field goal. And then their next drive in the third quarter didn't finish until the fourth quarter. I mean, that was the one that was the almost fumble. I didn't think that was going to get overturned.
I didn't either.
Yeah. I mean, but I didn't see it well enough before they went to commercial. I just went, I'm like, they, you know, defense has got to step up, blah, blah, blah.
Honestly, to me, it was another one of those only got overturned because on replay they slow it down.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at that at game speed, and that is frustrating at times. And I see why Atlanta had a gripe with that if they did, because
correct.
There's nothing game speed wise to make you think that that wasn't a catch and then he lost it. I don't know if it was leaked out. It was more that he lost it.
I understand their gripe, and I understand their gripe because we've had those same kind of calls go against us.
Yeah.
Where we've said, man, the only reason, you know, we've had them go against us, that was one of the few I feel went for us. I say one of the few. I don't know what it is, but to me it feels like that those kind of calls go probably 2-1 against us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
or maybe 3-2 against us.
Yeah,
but for me, it was nice. You know, okay, we got that one.
Yeah, yep, and It was one of those that I'm surprised they didn't stick with the call
and, and maybe by the letter of the law, it wasn't a fumble, but in my eyes, it was a fumble.
Yeah. Yeah. By the rule book, it's one of those things that, you know, they say, you know, you can try to define exactly what it is, but you should know it when you see it. Seeing that, it seemed like it should have been a fumble. But
until you slowed it down
until and could you look slowed at it down and broke down exactly what the rule is. I'll just say this: if they would have called it incomplete on the field, there's no way they would have overturned it to be a fumble.
Right.
So the fact that they called it a fumble on the field, if they wouldn't have overturned it because there wasn't enough evidence, I wouldn't have thrown a fit about it. I wouldn't have.
I'd have been unhappy. I'd have said, well, you know, we never get those calls.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that, well, if they would have called it a fumble, there's no way they would have overturned it if they would have called it incomplete, there's no way they would have overturned it to be a fumble. But so maybe it really was incomplete, but you know, just because of that. But that's looking way too far into it. Bottom line is, you don't know how the game would have played out because Atlanta wouldn't have held the ball for nearly as long because they wouldn't have had to move it down the field as long. Maybe they still get into the red zone and have the penalties and have to settle for the field goal. And the only thing that changes is the clock, and everything would have been different. Everything would have been different. Maybe the Steelers actually score on their last drive because they're looking to push the ball more. You just don't know how it would have all played out, but let's talk about it. Yeah. What it could have should have. I'm still here ready to go for this game because I think I still don't know which way I'm going to go with this game. I really don't. Even without, I would honestly, I keep saying that, I'd rather have a hobbled Lamar Jackson than a healthy, it's Tyler Huntley, right? Because yeah, then they signed Huntley. Is that?
I don't know. Right? I don't keep straight. Yeah. I don't follow the Ravens.
Yeah, Ravens suck. Yeah. Don't want to see Ravens that. Suck. But this is one of those games that I think the biggest thing the Steelers need to do is that they've got to keep playing in the way they've been playing as they're making their improvements. Let's talk about the George Pickens thing for a little bit.
Okay.
He was frustrated on the sidelines, only had two targets, going back home where he grew up, probably had a lot of family there. I understand the frustrations. And Coach Tomlin even said, hey, I understand why. For who doesn't want the ball? He's like, you're not gonna question T.J. Watt wanting to get more hits on the quarterback. But he says, but we also have to make sure we have a mature and professional response to these kind of things as well, which I think was true for Coach Tomlin to say that. So, to me, was it you? Was it someone? I can't remember who it was that said this. That George Pickens is, you know, he's the guy that doesn't have to be open for him to catch the ball.
Right.
But if Kenny Pickett's going to be, you know, and I felt it looked like they were bracketing him. I didn't check the all 22 and look at that afterwards, things of that nature. I'm just saying during the game, it looked like there was help over the top against Pickens, that he had someone underneath, someone over the top. Not every play, but at least the play, you know, maybe it was every play, but at least the plays I was paying attention to. So that could be frustrating. But when Kenny Pickett was throwing into those situations early on when he was the starter, that's when he was getting more interceptions. So I get maybe he wasn't the most confident throwing into the coverage that the Falcons were showing him on George Pickens.
Yes.
It had nothing to do that it was George Pickens. They could have covered Deontay Johnson like that. And I still think the right thing would have been Deontay Johnson would have had less targets because of that. I also think that because Deontay wasn't happy, they threw it to him a little bit too much. I love the plays that he made. It's also frustrating the plays that weren't made as well. Yep. But the offense does better when Deontay Johnson isn't forced the ball. He's just a part of the offense because I don't know, especially this past game, wasn't efficient enough. I think is a good way to put it. So to me, you know, with George Pickens, I get his frustrations, but at the same time, if the Ravens choose to cover him in the same way the Falcons did, I don't want Kenny Pickett feeling like he's got to throw on the ball 8 or 10 times.
Right.
Because I think even though Pickens might pull in and make some great catches there, you could also maybe see an interception or two. And I think that's something the Steelers really need to make sure they avoid on Sunday.
Yeah, and if you are going to throw into that type of coverage, I think you have to pick and choose.
Yeah.
And you have to pick and choose carefully when you do it, you know. It wasn't me on the Slack channel, and I don't remember who it was, but yes, it's Kenny Pickett seeing certain windows, certain things, and he wasn't seeing those comfortable windows with George Pickens, was seeing it elsewhere. Again, you could go into the talk that, and it may have been you that brought this up, that, you know, Deontay Johnson is known as an excellent route runner. Deontay Johnson runs himself open.
Yeah.
Is it more comfortable for a rookie quarterback to throw it at a guy who runs himself open or for a guy that battles for the catch?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what the comfort level is there, but yeah. You know, they are two very distinct styles of wide and different styles of wide receiver.
Yeah. But okay. They are, but it's also what you choose to do, because a lot of times teams will, they'll take one guy and they'll, if they feel that they have a shutdown defender, they'll put that one guy on one receiver and then the other one they'll give help to. To me, what they did this past week is they put Terrell on Deontay Johnson and then gave help with George Pickens. I don't know if that was, like I say, I'm the secondary and wide receivers. I can tell you more about special teams than I can about those things. So, even like kickoff coverage
I'll just wait because, you know, I'm sure either Jeffrey or Kevin will. Yeah. If it was a big enough deal, they'll throw some all 22 out there and then we'll get to see. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's when you look at it, I think it might have been going the other way earlier in the season. I'm not sure, but that's the way it seemed to me, because it seemed like Deontay Johnson had Terrell on him on the times that I'm thinking of throughout the game. And therefore that's what they left to Pickens. Is that the success? Is that the recipe for success for someone to beat the Steelers? I don't know, but you've kind of got to make a decision and come up with a game plan and go with it. We'll see what that game plan is going to be from Baltimore's defense against the Steelers. But when it comes to that, if the Steelers can keep running the ball, I don't know that that's as important. It really is.
This game's going to be, again, like I said, the nice measuring stick for our offensive line. Can our offensive line continue to gel, move a defensive line, and us continue to run the football and control the clock?
Yeah.
If they are able to do those things, I will be very happy, because there is a good chance I will get to, you know, breathe in that sweet smell again next week.
Yeah. And it's not like I don't ever want Kenny Pickett to look at a situation like that and not take advantage. There was times that they even pointed out, hey, look, it looks like they got Pickens one-on-one out here. But you could just tell based on the formation, I think they had a run play. You know, that could he have checked into something to say, oh, I finally got him one-on-one, I'm going to do that? Or were they disguising it? Or were they trying to show a one-on-one in order to bait? It almost seemed like they were trying to bait Kenny Pickett into forcing it to Pickens so they could make him pay for it. You know,
there were a couple times where I noticed them first walking the safety up, and then just prior to the snap, him sprinting back and out to complete the bracket. And I kept twice at least I saw that during the game, and both times I thought they were trying to bait Kenny Pickett into throwing the ball over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the fact that if they were trying to get him to do certain things and he wasn't doing it, even if you're like, oh man, you've got to get the ball to Pickens. If that's what's going on, then he made the right decision. I just don't know that you could say play in and play out for all, was it 64 or 65 plays that they had on offense? Well, they don't all count because two of them might have been wasted.
And I just want to clear up too. You're not saying that he was making the right decisions. You're just saying that if these things were indeed the in place the way we're describing them,
yeah,
then it was the right decisions. Like you said, I haven't watched the all 22. Like I said, I did notice those two plays, and I thought that I saw something in particular and thought, oh, they're trying to bait him into that, into thinking he had one-on-one coverage over there when he didn't. And I understand your take. I really just, yeah, want to find somebody that, that could maybe break that down a little more and make sure so we could see. Because it's one of those where, yes, I understand Pickett's frustrations. Now, what Pickett needs to be careful of is this. Okay. What he needs to be careful of is, and Coach Tomlin in a roundabout way alluded to it, is the way we handle that has to be better and more professional. Yeah. And there's really a big reason for that. Okay. If you let teams see you react and do things that way, they will know that that is only going to have a negative impact on the team's overall offense. Yeah. And they will come out and try to do those things to a player to get that reaction because it hurts the Steelers and helps the team that's doing it.
When you see a wide receiver, an all-pro wide receiver throwing water jugs on the sideline, all you've done is given all the other teams in the NFL to say, hey, let's go back and see what they were doing to him that made him so frustrated, and let's copy that.
Yes.
You know, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. But the whole reason I brought up the stuff with Pickens is it'll just be really interesting to see how the Ravens play this out this week.
Yes.
That's an interesting thing to watch. So both of these teams running the ball. That's an interesting thing to watch. Before we get into our scores, Rich, I need you to be thinking about what your score is going to be. Yep. But I've got to give a special shout out. I've got to give a shout out to Nathan Smith. I don't know that he's in the live chat tonight. He might be catching this later. I used a question that he had on my Stat Geek last week. But today he was supposed to be celebrating the birth of his son. So he said he was hoping to be holding his son and listen to the show tonight. So Nathan, if you're listening, I'm hoping that everything went well. Everything's
if you're holding the little guy.
For all you know, if it's your first, you might not realize how long it takes, especially with the first one. Maybe you're still, maybe it's still on the way. I'm not sure where you are. I'm sure I'll hear from you at some point. But make sure you use that wrap in that. You got to swaddle in that terrible towel.
Yeah, but you said, you know, maybe still the way, and only one thing came to mind. Ready?
Uh-oh.
You're going to laugh when I do this because you're going to know exactly what it is. Other people probably aren't, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, the classic comedy that we're not supposed to talk about anymore.
They've been canceled. They've been canceled. Can't talk about that comedy anymore, but it's still hilarious to me.
Thinking back, just the memories of it back when we were kids. Rich, what's your score? What's your score for this Sunday?
There's a couple of things that are going to be intriguing this game. You brought up run game for both teams. I'm interested to see the impact both the tight ends have on the game because Mark Andrews is one of the best, and Pat Freiermuth is headed towards one of the best.
And him and Connor Hayward were the top two scorers of tight ends in PFF this week.
And
whether you like their scoring or not.
Real interested to see how each defense handles that tight end on the other side.
Yeah.
It's going to be as most Steeler Ravens games are, it's going to be fun to watch. I'll probably eat an entire bottle of Tums. I'll be lucky that I don't break my TV by throwing something at it.
Got to have soft things in range to grab.
Yes, exactly. things to grab and throw towards the television that will not destroy the television. The Steelers have a real chance here. It is not going to be easy. This is another one of those games that I have a feeling in the end it's going to come down to a field goal or less. Okay. Early in the week, I'm going to say this again because I have the right to reserve. I reserve the right to make a change to mine based on what goes on with injury reports throughout the week. Ready? Here's the final score. I'm going to say 22-20 Ravens. Unless Boz plays, and then it's going to be 23-22 Steelers.
Oh, okay. Right. There you go. There you go. There you go. I'm going to put that out there with the scores for people that I'm sure that are just waiting to do that. Whew. My thing is, what I'm thinking about it is, the last thing that I want is for this game to be within a field goal or less because of the whole Justin Tucker part of the equation. You can't discount that guy. You really can't. No. As much as you hate that he wears that purple uniform, you just can't. So here we go. We've got lots of scores coming here to finish out here. Okay, remember, if you don't say a team, then we assume that you mean Steelers. Thomas Riley says Steelers 24, Ravens 23, and gave you some advice on what to do so you don't break the TV. Yep.
Okay, I'll bring home all my little stress balls and the little Nerf bomb things that Kyle gave me several years ago that I throw at people in meetings when they're not paying attention. Yep. I'll probably bring some of those home so that I can throw those things at the TV and not damage it.
That's a way to do it. So we got Pigeon 16, Ratbirch 13 from Sean Manahan. That's a good one. Moneybag says 23-13 Steelers, baby. Steel Dog 88 goes with 23-20 Steelers. Brian Brown says 17-16 Steelers. He's with Harbs going for two again and not get that.
Oh my gosh.
Love that.
That would be hilarious.
I don't know that I could handle the stress of that. Okay. State of the Steelers, 16-12 Steelers. George OTJ says 20-16 Steelers. James Tresvant says Steelers 20-16 as well. Craig J. Lawson says 27-24 Steelers. Frosty the Bear says 27-13 Men of Steel. Whoa, it skipped on me. Let's see if I got that. Okay. Steelers Pittsburgh says 20-17. Daniel Red says 24-20 Steelers. Harvey Stone's got 24-17 Steelers. Dion Eaton says Steelers 24, Ravens 28. Okay. Reginald Rivers says 23-16 Steelers. Tyler W says 12-10 good guys. Quentin Shelby says 20-16 Steelers. Kathy Ford says 24-21 Steelers. George Teston, he's going with the high score, 36-24 Steelers. You know, kind of like what Bad did last week, you know, bringing in some of those touchdowns. Jerry Cherry Band, who gives us our great music here, is 23-21 Steel Dog 88. Dark Storm 1 says 30-17 Steelers. Mr. Woodside says Steelers 24-20. And he thinks Pickens is going to get a TD there late. Randy Wagner says 17-16 Steel Curtain. Whew. I think this is going to be one of those games that should really be close unless one team turns it over and the other one doesn't. Sherry Richards has 23-16. Got to get Sherry's up there. She's here every week. Okay. That's the key. The bigger the turnover margin for one team or the other, the bigger the difference in the score, in my opinion. Yep. Honestly.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be one of those things like, my goodness, look at the Steelers play and the Bengals this year. They had huge turnover margin, barely won the first game, still had a turnover margin and lost the second game just because that's who the Bengals are. I don't think that's the way this one plays out. Outside Steeler fan says good guy 17, Ratbirds 14. Okay. There's a lot of factors here, and I think the injury reports coming out this week will be very interesting to see as well. Before we head out of here, I want to remind everyone once again, two tickets, section 122, row Q, if you're interested in them for Sunday. Because of stuff going on with the family, we just simply can't do it. I'm just trying to not have my brother-in-law take a loss. So that's why it's $300 for the pair. Reach out to me on Twitter, STLR Superfan Dad, or add the @gmail.com for my email address. And if you think that's something that you could do, make sure you're checking out all the podcasts. We've got Let's Ride Tomorrow. You've got I did the Mike Tomlin press conference. If you didn't catch his press conference, I did the recap podcast that was out earlier. You had Jeffrey's Cutting Room Floor, Steelers Fix all went out today. We've got Know Your Enemy tomorrow night is our YouTube show. We've got everything the same shows in the same time slots that they should be. Daniel J should be returning on Saturday, State of the Steelers, as he's recovering and says that he's doing all right, but still feeling it. But he's coming along. Rich, what do you have to say here to close us out tonight?
Hey, we got our short stack, right?
Yep.
Now, like I said, now we're headed for the measuring stick. And we're going to see how we stack up against the measuring stick, mm-hmm. right? Can we stack some more? Again, I expect the typical slobber knocker game of Steelers Ravens. They could prove me wrong, but seriously, if you say it's going to be a slobber knocker between the Steelers and the Ravens, 90% of the time you're going to be right, because 90% of the time that's what it is. Still excited to see. I am going to not have any problems. Can watch the game. Just no way I could go to the game. Be hanging out, probably driving my wife nuts, hoping that Kyle and I get to watch together. We've been getting parts of games together here and there, but since the going to the Saints game, I don't think he and I have been able to watch an entire game together because he's had gotta something remedy going that. On. Yep. But hoping we can. For the record, the past two games, I've sat on my couch and worn my sunglasses. Like I did at the Saints game. And those have both been Steeler victories. So me and my sunglasses will be on the couch writing the knee-jerk reaction again this Sunday. Can't wait.